One morning, the pastor was having breakfast with a man in his church. The man needed advice. So he asked the pastor a question. He said, "Pastor, you know that a few years ago I had a bad car accident. I no longer have the full use of my legs and I'm in great pain. The doctors have done as much as they can. And they say, I'll just have to live with this. But Pastor, I've prayed over and over and over again for a miracle or maybe for God to guide the doctors to help me more. Pastor, why won't God answer my prayer?" Then in the afternoon, the pastor met with a married couple. And they say, "Pastor, you know that God blessed us with two wonderful children, and our daughter, Julie, trusted in Jesus at age 12, and she's still following Jesus. But little Bill made a different turn in life, and we went off to college. He stopped going to church. He became very immoral and says now he doesn't believe in God, but we've prayed for him with tears hundreds of times for God to save him. Pastor, why won't God answer our prayers for him and save him?" Then in the evening, the pastor and his wife met with a woman in her 40s, and she said, "The Lord saved me when I was 15 years old, and like my other girlfriends, we believed in Jesus, and we started praying for a godly husband, and as the years went on, one by one, I saw them get married. And I'm the last one, and I've prayed for the Lord to bring me a husband. Pastor, why hasn't God answered my prayers?" All of us know what it's like to wonder, why hasn't God answered my prayer for healing or whatever, a job, a career? We feel disappointed, and we want to know, why? I'd like to give some biblical answers this morning, because we all wonder, why doesn't God always answer my prayers? I'd like to give 10 guidelines. Usually preachers preach on this subject from a different direction. I'm going to do it somewhat in reverse by pointing out 10 principles why God does not always answer our prayers. This will also point us in the right direction so that we can pray more effectively and thank God when he does answer our prayers and understand why it is sometimes he does not answer our prayers. Open your Bibles again to James chapter 4. Our first of the 10 principles is this: prayers that are never prayed are never answered. Look at verse 2. "You have not because you ask not." There are some things God would give us if we simply asked, or if we asked in the right way, but it doesn't occur to us to pray to him for those. It's like the man at work that was talking to his friend and said, "Hey, Joe, I didn't know you were once in the Marines." And Joe said, "Well, you never asked." There are things we don't have because we have never asked for God. Ask and you just might receive them. Second principle: prayers are unanswered if they are not addressed to God. Prayers are like a letter or an email. They have to be properly addressed. 2 Kings 18, we find the Baal worshipers getting all excited and praying to Baal. And I like the verse that says, "But there was no answer. Nobody said anything. There was no fire from heaven." And then Elijah prayed, and bingo, here comes the fire. Prayers to Baal will not be answered. Prayers to Allah will not be answered. He is not the one true God. Nor are we to pray to the saints like Mary or Peter. That would be calling on the dead, and God strictly forbids trying to contact the dead. And of course, it's not just Catholics, but sometimes we attempted to want to talk to our late mother or father. I knew a man that used to do that. Heard about some Christian somewhere over in the Appalachian Mountains that would actually call upon Spurgeon, of all people. I don't think Spurgeon would dare answer them if he even heard them. But my point is, we are to pray to God alone. And to be precise, we pray to the Father in the name of the Son with the help of the Spirit. Sometimes people get those confused, and the theologian in me says, don't pray, Father, thank you for dying on the cross for us. It was the Son that died on the cross, not the Father. What does it mean to pray in the name of Jesus? That's not simply a magical formula that if we say the words, that guarantees our prayers are going to be answered. No, it means that we pray with reference to Christ. We pray with his authority. We pray not because of our merits, but because of his merits. That's what it means to pray in the name of Jesus. But if we use that formula as just a trite way to end a prayer, God might not answer us because we're misusing it. Principle 3. Selfish prayers will not be answered. Look here at verse 3. You ask, but you do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. Sometimes we pray for fame, fortune, our own glory. Many a boy prays that he'll be the world's best athlete, or a girl prays that she'll be beautiful and on TV. All that is selfish. Parents need to teach their children otherwise. We're not to pray for our own glory, but for God's glory. Very important principle. God is not a Santa Claus, where we say, gimme, gimme, gimme. God will condescend to give us our needs, but let's don't misunderstand. You remember about 10 or 12 years ago, there was a best-selling book. I think it sold 10 million copies. Prayer of Jabez, you remember that? Basically, that was saying, Jabez said, I want that property. God, give it to me. I demand it. And Christians said, yes, we can demand things from God. Selfishly, money, whatever. No. Look at this verse again. You ask amiss so that you would serve your own pleasures. It's a misuse of prayer. Be careful what you pray for. You just might get selfish answers, and you will regret it. Back in the book of Numbers, the Israelites didn't want any more of God's manna. That was a miraculous food God provided for them absolutely free. They said, we don't want this manna one more day. God, give us meat. We remember the food back in Egypt. Give us meat. They were like children that were spoiled, and they were now demanding it. And God condescended to give them quails. But yet it said when they ate the quails, it was still in their mouth, and God punished them. Be careful when you pray for something selfishly. God might give it to you, and you will be sorry. Many a young woman will say, God, give me that man to marry. He's so handsome and athletic, and he's got a big car. Oh, I know he's not a Christian, but give me, give me, give me. And God might say, you'll have him. And then she will later be sorry. Be careful, lest you pray selfishly. God might give you what you ask, and you will be sorry. Think three times before asking selfish things. Now, the popular misuse of this is, you ever heard the phrase, name it, claim it. God's given you a blank check. Name whatever you want to, and you can demand it. And, you know, make me rich, this, whatever, famous, and God will always give it to you. That is not true. This popular television evangelist, pray upon the poor and the desperate and the greedy. Send in money and claim your reward. God will give you anything you want. Think big. That's not biblical. When I was a teenager, there was a pop singer that had heard about this, and she sang a certain song making fun of it. Anybody remember the song, Oh Lord, Won't You Buy Me a Mercedes-Benz? That was Janis Joplin, 1969, making fun of this. Oh Lord, won't you buy me a color TV? Well, what's wrong with black and white or just driving an old Ford? But it's this idea, name it, claim it, I want more and more and more. Selfish prayers will not be answered. Philippians 4 says, let your requests be made known to God, not your demands. Demanded prayers are not answered. Remember, James and John came to Jesus once and said, Master, we want you to do whatever we ask of you. Jesus said, you don't know what you're asking for. So selfish prayers will be ignored by God. Someone says, well, what about John 14:14, where Jesus said, whatever you ask me, I will give you. That has to be balanced with every other biblical principle. Does that mean we can ask for literally everything? Well, Lord, make me master of the universe, the fourth member of the Trinity, or make me immortal, I'll never die. Obviously, that would be asking amiss. We have to balance John 14:14 with every other biblical principle. Pray for your needs, not your greeds, and pray for wisdom to know the difference. Number four, prayers not according to God's will are not answered. The will of God is very important in this. Let me read you a couple of verses. 1 John 5. This is the confidence we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions we have asked of him. That can be misunderstood in the name it, claim it idea. We have to understand what the Bible says about the will of God. That's what it means to pray in Jesus' name according to the will of God. It's misunderstood. For example, there's the revealed will of God, his commands. Our prayers have to be in accordance with what God commands, not in accord with what he forbids. We are not to pray for sinful things, not just not selfish things. We should not pray for sinful things. A man should not pray for an opportunity to commit adultery, for example. That'd be ridiculous. That would not be answered. So we have to know the will of God. The Bible also talks about the secret will of God, such as predestination. We are not to pray for God to reverse what he has already foreordained. He's not going to do it anyway, but it's presumptuous to say, well, Lord, reverse the decree of election, for example, or save the lost without faith in Christ. God has ordained that people will be saved only by faith in Christ. It'd be wrong for us to say, make an exception for that person that doesn't believe. That's a presumptuous prayer. When I was at Bible college, we had a little prayer group on Saturdays, and we'd share prayer requests, and I remember Jim once said, pray for my mother. I wrote down, okay, Jim's mother. What is it? Pray for salvation. Salvation. Okay. Where does she live? Well, she's in hell. She died a year ago. Died lost? Yes. Well, pray for her to be saved because God could still save her. I put my pencil down. I said, no, that's an unbiblical prayer. That's going against the obvious will of God that salvation's on this. You take my point. We need to be educated on what the will of God is. For example, we should pray for the salvation of a loved one. We don't know if he is elect or not. That's inconsequential. We don't pray that God would reverse election. We pray that God would save this loved one. Remember, Paul said in Romans 10:1, my earnest desire and prayer for Israel is that they may be saved. So let's pray for them. Pray according to God's will. Some of you have heard of Benny Hinn, unfortunately. And a few years ago, he started a controversy by saying, we should never pray if it be thy will. I'm sorry, Mr. Hinn. The Bible says we are to pray according to his will and to know what his will is and to submit to it. Be like Jesus. You remember the Garden of Gethsemane? Jesus on his hands and knees pleading, weeping, please, Father, remove this cup from me. We feel like that in prayer sometimes, begging God. But then remember what he said, but not my will, but thy will be done. And he submitted to it. Hebrews 5:7 refers to that and said, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears To him who is able to save him from death, he was heard because of his godly fear. You say, wait. How can you say his prayer was answered? He prayed that the Lord would alleviate him from having to die. His real prayer was, thy will be done. If your will is for me to die, I'll take it. If not, I'll take that. Good example for us. Didn't he teach us in the Lord's Prayer, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven? Let's submit all our prayers to the will of God. Thy will be done. In French, they say please by saying, s'il vous plaît. Anybody know what that means? Literally, it means, if you please. In Spanish, you say, por favor, for a favor. What we mean in prayer is, please, Lord, if you please, if it is your will. That's not making a demand, that's submitting to God. By the way, don't forget to say thank you. Or in French, merci beaucoup. Or in Spanish, gratias. Mercy and gratias both mean thank you for the mercy, the grace that you've given to me as you please. You see, we are not to demand things. We are to submit to God's will. So say please, but don't forget to say thank you either. Say mercy, say gratia, say thank you, Lord. We had a man at a previous church that I pastored, and in our prayer meetings, he'd always say, Lord, thank you for this. And Lord, we thank you in advance for what we've just prayed for, lest we forget to thank you later on. I thought that was very wise. Remember to say thank you. So prayer is not according to God's will not be answered. Number five, prayers with the wrong attitude will not be answered. You remember the Pharisee that went to the temple and says, I thank you, God, that I'm not like other people. He was filled with pride. In Matthew 7, Jesus warned about Pharisees that showed off with public prayer. Prideful prayers will not be answered. Why? Listen to what the Bible says. Job 35:12. They cry out, but he does not answer because of the pride of evil men. We're to come with humility, not with pride. Pride says, I deserve to be answered. A humble heart says, Lord, if you please, I submit to you. Now, related to this is another principle. In prayer, we're often tempted to make a deal with God. You ever do that? Lord, if you give me this, I will do that. I remember an old picture, and it showed, remember the golfer Jack Nicklaus? And he was on the putting green in the PGA championship, and he was like about to win. They showed him look up in the sky, and the cartoonist put a little bubble there saying, Lord, if you help me make this putt, I'll go to church every Sunday. We all make little deals like that. Lord, I pray for this. I want this. If you give me this, I will do that. Well, before you jump to the answer, we do find an example in the Bible doing that, and she was heard. Hannah, 1 Samuel 1, she wanted a child. She wept. She pled. Lord, if you give me a child, I'll give him back to you. I'll dedicate him to you. And God agreed. But then you look in Judges, you find another example of a person hastily cutting a deal with God. You remember Jephthah? Mentioned him in Sunday school. He was a general in time of war, and he said, we need to win this battle. Lord, if you give me victory, I'll sacrifice the first living thing that comes out of my house when I go home. Well, God said, okay. But it was a rash vow. He won the battle. He gets home, and what's the first living thing? His daughter. Rash vows of this kind of prayer often backfire on us. So my advice is be very cautious about making a deal with God. God, if you answer this, then I'll do that. It might turn out different than you planned. See, you have to pray with wisdom. Number six, prayers without faith will not be answered. Again, back in the book of James, chapter 1, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God who gives generously, but let him ask of in faith. We need to ask in faith. Now, that doesn't mean Like the people that are agnostics that say, well, God, if there is a God, hear me. That's not faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, he that comes to God must first believe that he is. So the person says, if there is a God, hear me. That's not faith. You have to believe in God. But how often do we leave faith out of our prayers? Stories told about a certain farming community that was going through a drought. So the preacher said, we're going to have a prayer meeting on Sunday night. Everybody show up and we'll pray for rain. And they all came to pray for rain. At the beginning of the prayer meeting, the preacher looked out and said, we're going to pray for rain, but I notice only one of you brought an umbrella. A little girl who had childlike faith to believe God just might send rain. Do we have that childlike faith? We lay up the firewood and pray for the God to send the fire. Where's our firewood of faith? Let's take a step and say, Lord, you might answer this, so I'm going to be ready for the answer. Now, it's not so much the quantity of faith, but the quality of faith. Jesus said, if you have faith just like a little mustard seed, you can pray and move mountains. So make sure you have the true quality of faith, not just try to work up a huge amount. Make sure you have true faith. Faith means trusting that God can do what you ask. And he will do what is best. Principle number 7. This will surprise you. Out of his goodness and wisdom, God sometimes does not answer our prayers. He might delay answering you. He might say, I'll answer you later. The time is not right. And he might delay, but he may not deny your prayer. It's not a no, it's simply God saying, not now. What are we to do? We're to trust God and wait and leave it to him. Also, God might have something better than what you asked for. I like the way Spurgeon put it. He was saved as a teenager, and within a couple of years, he became a very blessed preacher and a Baptist. And his mother was a Methodist, and she said, Charlie, I always pray that you'd get saved and become a preacher, but not a Baptist. And he says, but God gave you more than you asked for. Can't you testify that you prayed for something, and God gave you more than you asked for, something better than you asked for? Out of his goodness and wisdom, God might not answer your prayer exactly as you asked for it. Or, like a parent, God might say to you, you couldn't handle what you ask for. You parents ever do that? Your child asks, you know, a little five-year-old asks for a gun. Well, no, you shoot your eye out. You know, don't do that. God sometimes wisely withholds certain things because he knows we'd misuse them. It'd be dangerous. It wouldn't be good for us. Heard Chuck Swindoll preach along these lines, and he says, thank God that there were times he did not answer your prayer. Such as when you were backslidden and you said, Lord, just leave me alone. And God said, no, I love you too much to leave you alone. That's an unanswered prayer. But sometimes God does answer that prayer. Remember, Ephraim is joined to idols. Leave him alone. And sometimes when we backslide, we just say, Lord, turn off my conscience. Just leave me alone. God says, okay. And then we get sorry. We get homesick for God. Principle number 8, inappropriate prayers will not be answered. Don't tempt God with inappropriate prayers like the Israelites did. For example, flippant prayers. Remember, we're praying to God Almighty, the Lord of the universe, who is holy. Don't pray, hey, God, old buddy, old pal, or I heard a theologian that thought he was being feminist friendly, and he prayed to our mother who art in heaven. These are inappropriate prayers. Job 35:13 says, surely God will not listen to empty talk, nor will the Almighty regard it. Let's check out our prayers to make sure that they are appropriate and reverent. Another form of inappropriate prayers are superstition. We'd laugh at a person that said, you know, I heard that if you put a dead frog under your pillow and pray during a full moon, God will answer you. And you laugh at that superstition. But we have other kinds of superstitions. Crossing ourselves, counting beads, incense, praying before a crucifix or a candle or pictures of Jesus or spinning a prayer wheel. Or God will answer your prayer if you pray exactly 5 minutes a day for 40 days. That guarantees it. No, that's a form of superstition. Here's another one. Though we should pray with our emotions, some people think the more emotions, the more likely we are to be heard. And so they imitate those Baal prophets that read about that. 1 Kings 18, they danced all around the altar. They shouted. They jumped up on the altar. They cut themselves. They were screaming, falling on the floor. I've seen that sort of rigmarole going on in churches. High intensity emotion. And they say, oh, we've got our praise on. We've worshiped God. No, they've just had an emotional display. And they think that they will be heard for their deep emotions. No. That doesn't increase the likelihood of God answering. It's probably the exact opposite. God looks at that and says, stop it. That's not reverent. We should have true emotion, not emotionalism. Also, another inappropriate prayer is misinformed prayers. Now, this has an ironic twist. You might pray for something that's already happened. I was at a prayer meeting. Someone was praying for someone to be saved. The next day he found out that the person he prayed to be saved had got saved the day before he prayed it. Well, that's an innocent enough thing, but sometimes we're misinformed. The Bible says we do not know what to pray for, but the Spirit helps us. We cannot pray that God change the past, as medieval scholastics sometimes wondered. We should not pray for the impossible or silly things like God would change the law of mathematics or make a square a circle. Those are silly, impossible things to pray for. Another inappropriate prayer, similar to the emotionalism, is mysticism. Coach, you know about some of the FCA people, mysticism. What's that? You turn your mind off and just feel your way toward God. Sometimes that's called quietism. Get ultimately quiet only by feelings. Or you work yourself into a trance, like the whirling dervishes in the Middle East. That's not biblical. God's not going to answer that kind of prayer. Listen to what the Word of God says. 1 Corinthians 14:15, I will pray with the mind. Prayers also for personal vengeance are inappropriate and will not be answered. Remember, James and John came to Jesus and said, Lord, grant that we could call down fire from heaven like Elijah and destroy our enemies. And Jesus said, you don't know what you're asking for. That's an inappropriate prayer, personal vengeance. Wait a second, preacher. Didn't David pray that God would punish his enemies? To be precise, he prayed for God to punish God's enemies. We are not to go for personal vengeance, but we can pray, God, restrain your enemies. Those that are attacking your people, even punish them. But exercise much wisdom in this. Remember, Jesus said, Father, forgive them. Stephen, when he died, prayed for his enemies and said, lay not this sin to their charge. Presumptuous prayers are also inappropriate prayers that will not be answered. You ever heard someone says, I prayed and God told me he will answer that. God hadn't told you that. You're not getting communiques from God in the spirit realm. We are to pray and leave it to God. And we wait for his providence to confirm whether he will answer it. Don't claim a promise God did not make. Years ago, a man that I knew in another church, he'd been a youth leader in the church, led Bible studies, did a little preaching. He phoned me up very angry. I said, what happened? He said, well, when my wife and I were poor, we were close to God, but she started a little business. She became very, very wealthy, and things began to fall apart. She walked out on me, and so I prayed, God save my marriage. I prayed, and he didn't save the marriage. He broke a promise. And so I began to wonder, well, if God lied, he may not even exist. Kurt, I'm an agnostic, and I've never gone back to church in my life. And he began to utter all kinds of blasphemy. And I said, wait a second. Go back to the beginning. Did God really promise he would save your marriage if you did this, that, and the other? And the way he explained it is, it was a presumptuous prayer. Presumptuous prayers are inappropriate. Don't claim a promise God did not make. Number 9. God may have higher purposes than what you prayed for. Person might say, I prayed for years. Why won't God heal me, for example? God does not always desire to heal us. In this life, he will in the next. So away with this nonsense that says God always desires to heal you. Name it and claim your healing. There's healing, the atonement. No. Like I began, why does God sometimes choose not to heal us? For various reasons. There are blessings in afflictions. We can know more of his love. We can sympathize with others that are hurting. It might open up. What about Johnny Erickson Tata? She's been quadriplegic for 52 years. And she says, God has used my affliction to bless thousands, hundreds of thousands around the world. So afflictions can be a blessing in disguise, and God may not heal us. David said, before I was afflicted, I went astray. Sometimes affliction restrains sin and prevents sin. So what should we do when we're, for example, sick and afflicted? Pray for mercy. Pray for strength. That is a prayer God will answer. If you are his child, he will comfort you. He will show you much mercy, even if he does not heal you. Remember, I also said, what about the people that say, Lord, I've been praying for a husband, for a wife, or a couple were praying for children and God hadn't given us children. Why won't God answer that prayer? What's wrong with that? Doesn't it say that the Lord will give us our heart's desires if we please him? To which I would tenderly say, it just might not be God's will for you to be married. It might not be God's will for you to have children. We find examples in Scripture. Maybe you've been praying for the wrong kind of spouse or for children for the wrong reason. Some people try to answer their prayers by marrying the wrong person or doing the wrong thing like Abraham to get children. I know people that pray, Lord, bring me a spouse. But they should be willing to say, Lord, if you don't answer that, there must be a reason. Perhaps you will give me one later, I'll wait. Or maybe you want me to be single, like the Apostle Paul and many of the prophets, to serve you better single, 1 Corinthians 7. We need to submit that to God. He may have something else in mind that's different and even better. How about this one? As I said at the beginning, why hasn't God answered my prayer to save my spouse or my child? I've prayed, I've wept for years. People in this church have prayed for a lost son or daughter or brother or sister. And it's God that does the saving. Why doesn't God save that person? I've prayed, I've begged, I've wept. You could say, well, perhaps God hasn't elected him, but that's up to God. We should still be praying. Perhaps God is still working on that person. Put that in mind when you pray. You say, for example, you have a brother that's lost. He gets very sick. Lord, heal him. God might say, I gave him that affliction to drive him to me. You have to submit that to God and his providence. There's much mystery in this. Don't pray contrary to what God might be doing in providence. God might save that person later, even after you have died. That has been known to happen. A parent prays for a son or a daughter, and then years later the parent dies, and then sometime after the death of that parent, that child remembers mother or father's faith and says, you know, I think they were right. I'll believe in Jesus too. That's an answer to a prayer from years earlier. Principle number 10. I was surprised to find out how often this is in Scripture, why God does not answer some prayers. Now, remember, not all these 10 principles apply to every one of your cases. Have the wisdom to know which one will apply. And this is the last one. God will not answer our prayers if we do not confess sin and repent of it. I found at least a dozen verses on this. Most well-known one, Psalm 66:18. If I regard sin in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Deuteronomy 1:45, the Lord will not listen to your voice nor give ear to you. Why? Because Israel had disobeyed God and had not repented. Deuteronomy 3:26 says, God would not answer Moses' prayer and even said to Moses, speak to me no more of this matter. That's strong language. 1 Samuel 28:6, when Saul inquired of the Lord did not answer him. He was in sin. Isaiah 1:15, quote, even though you make your prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. He also says, wash them, make them clean. Though your sins be as scarlet, they'll be white as snow. Keep that in mind when you think of last week's sermon, blood on your hands. I will not hear you. Your hands are full of blood. Isaiah 59:2, your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. Proverbs 28:9, one who turns away his ear from hearing the law of God, even his prayer is an abomination. Ezekiel 23, God said to the wicked elders of Israel, have you come to inquire of me? I will not be inquired of you. God does not listen to the prayers of false prophets. Micah 3:4, then they will cry to the Lord, but he will not hear them. He will even hide his face from them at that time because they have been evil in their deeds. They have not repented. Here's a serious one. Some of you probably been waiting. Some of you probably afraid that I'd quote this. 1 Peter 3 talks about husbands and wives, and it addresses the husbands. It says, live with your wives gently and peaceably, lest your prayers be hindered. God will not hear a husband's prayers over the tears and cries of his wife if he's mistreating her. It works both ways. Sometimes men are henpecked, nagged by a wife that just browbeats them over and over again. Her prayers will be hindered as well. Same thing if parents are mistreating their children or the children showing disrespect. In other words, this is an example of sin within family relationships. And if it's not confessed and repented of, it's putting a lock on the door of faith and prayer. Sometimes Christians go too far in unrepentant sin, even as believers. And God said, I won't hear you until you repent of that sin. And I mean really repent of it. So what are we to do? We need to confess our sins and repent and submit to God's chastening. How often do we begin our prayers with confession? We should. Otherwise, the door remains locked. In the Old Testament, when the priests were to enter the temple, first thing they were to do was to wash their hands. That's a symbol of us. When we come to God, we should say, Lord, I've sinned even today. Forgive me of any known sin. And then we can proceed further. Now, obedience does not earn an answer to prayer, but disobedience will forfeit an answer to prayer. Let me add a few last remarks. I've gone through the 10 principles. Here's a question. Does God answer the prayers of unbelievers? We're talking about unanswered prayers. Well, the answer to this is yes and no. John 9:31, the Pharisee said, God does not hear sinners. After all, they don't pray in faith. They don't pray in Jesus' name with the right motives and so forth. And yet we find in Acts 10, God condescended to answer the prayer of Cornelius, who is not converted until later in the chapter. By common grace, God does sometimes condescend to answer the prayers of even an unbeliever in order to push them toward God. Being creatures in the image of God, it's our duty, even as unbelievers, to pray to God. It's a command. But so far as the unbeliever, that would be the exception. And he should not count on that. That would be presumptuous. For the unbeliever that's listening today, you may have already been praying, and you wonder why God hadn't God answered my prayer. The first prayer God wants to hear from an unbeliever is, Lord, I repent, save me from my sins because of Jesus. That's the first prayer he wants the unbeliever to pray, and then there'll be many more to follow. Brethren, how should we respond to God when he doesn't answer our prayers? Well, we should keep praying. We should pray in the right way. But perhaps you said, I do pray in faith. I keep praying in Jesus' name according to his will. But check to make sure you are praying in the right way. And submit to however God may or may not answer your prayer. That is a golden rule that we often overlook. Submit to it if you please. Here's an example, 2 Corinthians 12, Paul. He had some thorn in the flesh, probably a very painful physical affliction. And he says, I sought the Lord 3 times. It's a Jewish way of saying, I prayed and I prayed and I prayed over and over again. Did he get what he asked for? Yes and no. God didn't remove the thorn. He says, Paul, no, I'm not going to heal you. My grace is sufficient for you. And then Paul learned the lesson. That affliction was a blessing in disguise. And he said, I'll take the thorn because this will open up more opportunities. And he said, more gladly will I take these afflictions. How often do we go that extra step? It's often because we pout. God didn't give me what I asked for. We need to realize that God has good and wise purposes for not answering our prayers at times. So Paul gladly accepted it. Will you still love God if he does not answer your prayer? He's testing you. How you respond, listen closely, how you respond to when God does not answer your prayer when you prayed in the right way is a good indication of the motives of your heart and the level of your spirituality. An immature believer says, God didn't give me the answer, so what does he do? He pouts like a spoiled child, may even throw a temper tantrum, get angry at God, or even say, I'm not going to pray to you anymore, Lord. That's the wrong attitude. A godly Christian will say, Lord, I prayed as best as I know how. I don't fully understand why you won't answer this. I'll trust you and love you anyway. That's the attitude that pleases God and not the other. Ephesians 3:20 says, God is able to do far more than you can think or ask. He is certainly able to answer your prayers when they've been prayed in the right way. So never think, well, I guess this is something even God can't do. No, God can do far more than we can imagine. But it's up to him to choose whether to answer our prayers and how to answer them and when. Here's another biblical principle. Pray and keep praying. Remember Luke 18, Jesus told about this woman that went to the judge and pounded on his door day and night. And finally the guy says, I'll give you what you want just to get out of here. And Jesus says, will not your heavenly Father give you what you ask for? And the lesson was, ask and keep on asking. And you might be asking for days, weeks, months, years. Don't give up. I like the way the great Martin Lloyd-Jones put it. He said it's like you're in a barn and there's something on the top shelf in the hayloft that you want, but you don't have a ladder, but it's got a rope attached to it hanging down. You know it's close to the edge, so you pull on it. Pull it a little bit inch closer, a little bit closer. It's heavy, so you pull. Finally, you just grab hold and you put all your weight and you swing on it and you pull it down. Lloyd-Jones says, that's a picture of prayer. Keep praying, keep praying, keep praying. And then when God's pleased, he kicks it over and we pull it down with the rope of faith. Brethren, keep on praying. You may be only one prayer away from getting what you're praying for. Wouldn't it be embarrassing? You get to heaven and you say, Lord, I kept praying for something. An angel said, if you'd prayed one more time, you would have got it. Keep praying. When Jesus said, ask and it'll be granted to you, the word there is ask regularly. Keep on asking. That doesn't mean nag God. And it doesn't mean what Jesus warned about in Matthew 7 about the Pharisees that think they'll be heard because of their many prayers. Whether God answers your prayers or not, always trust him. And sometimes that's all we can do. We said, as best as I know, I've been praying in Jesus' name and his will and all these other things. I still don't understand why he hasn't answered my prayer. At that point, you need to simply trust God. Faith always comes to that crossroads and says, I don't understand, but I'm not going to blame God. I submit to him and I trust our loving Heavenly Father. Remember, brethren, God does not owe us an answer to our prayers. Neither does God owe us an answer to our question, why won't he answer our prayers? He doesn't always tell us. What he tells us is, just trust me. And when you look at the various principles involved in true biblical prayer, you realize God knows best. Keep trusting God. Keep praying. Thank him when he answers you and trust him when he doesn't. Thank God for both the duty and the privilege of prayer. And when we see it and from God's point of view, it is a wonderful privilege. So what should we do? Pray and trust God. Having said that, let us pray. Father, give us the faith and the patience to wait upon you when we pray. Give us your humility not to demand. Help us to wait. And Father, in those times when you don't answer us, help us to trust you anyway. For we know that you are testing us. Help us to love you anyway and leave the answer to you. In Jesus' name, amen.